The reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's the whole of chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their ways into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I've endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Is so in the public domain. Literally and metaphorically, Christ is up in lights. In the middle of merry mass and happy mass, Christ is there. Yet how many people really notice? At Christmas, Christ mass, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. How many people in our community join us in those celebrations is open to debate. A trip down any high street, in any town or city at this time, might draw into question the relevance of Christ to much of what goes on. This lead up to Christmas is a particularly relevant context to this passage from Paul's letter to Timothy. How do you feel about bad forecasts? As I was preparing this talk earlier in the week, the headlines in the news talked of a weather bomb approaching Britain, which would bring with it arctic blasts, snow, gales strong enough to uproot trees, and sundry other weather woes. And probably for some hours at the beginning of the week, you thought that the end of the week might not arrive. On the news the same morning, it was announced that Tesco's had issued a profit warning to their shareholders. The consequences of that financially were significant. The Chancellor's autumn statement identified that austerity would need to continue a little while longer. Great joy to opposition politicians who told the government that they weren't useful. They couldn't do their job. Word to that effect. And then, as if to make things even worse, we were told that some of the things that you'd ordered online on Black Friday or Cyber Monday wouldn't arrive for Christmas because of unprecedented demand. I'm sorry if I've made it a bad day for you. That wasn't my intention. But a look at the first 8 verses of this letter to Timothy, this chapter that we're reading, and it's very much in the same category. Whilst there have been encouragements to Timothy in the earlier parts of Paul's letter, in this section, Paul is really clearly warning Timothy of some of the threats to his ministry that he is likely to face. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient, ungrateful, unforgiving, slanderous, treacherous, conceited, and it goes on. It's a brutal list, full of harsh judgments. Indeed, it's almost desperate. Whilst on other occasions in his letters, Paul has been quite outspoken in his statements, seldom has he come across as harsh as in this description of people, as he does here. Paul is writing with a desperation, partly born of his own situation. Paul is coming to the end of his life. He's in prison, he's alone, and he's desperate. But he's also aware of Timothy's inexperience as a young leader of a young church, and a church under threat in the political system of Nero's corrupt empire. You can almost hear the displeasure in Paul's voice as he lists off the wrongs of the people who Timothy is likely to encounter. And as if these people weren't bad enough, he particularly focuses on one group. Those within the church community who prey on the weak and easily confused. The New Living Translation version of this section describes them thus. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that made them godly. They have depraved minds and a counterfeit faith. Paul even compares them to Jannes and Jambres, thought to be, or the names given, to the two magicians whom Moses confronted in his encounter with Pharaoh. By making this comparison, Paul clearly warns Timothy of their almost supernatural power and influence. Is it any wonder that Paul says, "Have nothing to do with them"? He clearly needs Timothy to understand his warning at this place. This time, deceitful teaching within the church is one of the most dangerous traps that is set to capture people of faith. Now, before you start looking around you and spotting the predators in the seats, I'm not for one moment suggesting that this is an issue particular to our church. Rather, I think it's a risk because we have so much access to so many sources of information, in books, through the media, online. Thousands of interpretations of what is right, how we should worship, how we should pray, how we should read scripture, how we should serve God, all offered by reputable scholarly sources within the Christian community. Countless versions of the truth. How should we plot a path through the minefield that appears to lie along the path that we try and want to walk? And further, how should we, as the body of Christ, look after the most vulnerable in our community and protect them from the threat of those people that might mislead them? How should we encourage, protect, and guide new Christians? How should we help those who are older in their faith, yet have doubts? How should we get alongside those who are experiencing a time of wilderness and are no longer sure what they believe? These are the vulnerable in our community. These are the people who Paul identifies as needing particular protection. But Paul doesn't leave it there, just leaving Timothy with a warning. Paul isn't just a grumpy old man in prison, mouthing off about the woes of the world. No, he goes on in the second half of the passage to offer advice on walking through the dangers that lie along our path. In verses 10 to 17, Paul offers a threefold solution to Timothy's dilemma, which is just as relevant to us today. Let's have a look at what it says. Firstly, Paul says, understand that threat and persecution go with the territory. Verse 10, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance. It's a contrasting list to the one earlier on, isn't it? My persecutions and sufferings. What kinds of things have happened to me? The persecutions I have endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Timothy has grown up with the knowledge of Paul's life and of the trials that Paul has had. He knows what Paul has had to face, and he also knows that Paul has survived and continues undaunted to speak the gospel. For us, perhaps, that final sentence is the most relevant. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Perhaps rather than feeling discouraged or intimidated on these occasions when our faith is tested, we should give thanks that it's not worse and encourage that others have identified that we are indeed Christians. Being threatened or persecuted is part of trying to live a godly life. We need to understand and accept that. Secondly, hold on to the early teaching and instruction he received. Verse 14, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. Paul encourages Timothy to hold on to what he was taught early in his life. Timothy's parents were a Greek father and a Jewish Christian mother. He had what we would refer to today as a Christian upbringing. He was immersed in Christianity since he was a child, and it is likely that he met Paul when he was a teenager. It was probably harder for Timothy not to think as a Christian than it was for him to do so. Some of us are hardwired in the same way. And while sometimes we might have tried to forget it or run away from it or test out whether it actually is any relevance at all, we have a faith which is on deep foundations. We should heed Paul's encouragement that those foundations are there when we're battered in the inevitable storms of life. For those whose faith isn't so old, the same thing holds true. Go back to the time when you first made a commitment. Paul is in effect saying, what held true then holds true today. Trust it. And then thirdly, Paul says to Timothy, use Scripture as your touchstone. Verse 16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Remembering that for Paul and Timothy, Scripture refers principally to what we call the Old Testament, since most of the New Testament hadn't been written, Paul affirms God's involvement in Scripture, and therefore its infallibility. For Timothy, the interpretation of this statement would be clear. In his dealings with the misleading but very persuasive elements within the Christian community, he should constantly compare what they were communicating with what Scripture says. Excuse me. To do so, Timothy would have to have a thorough knowledge of the content of Scripture. He was to study and meditate on what he read. And for us today, the same thing is absolutely true. Scripture for us is fuller, more enriching, in that it contains the New Testament too, and the Gospels and Paul's letters. It is truly the instruction manual of our Christian life. Today, we have the Bible translated into many different languages. We have many versions of it, dialects, paraphrases, all sorts of things. Rather than a threat, that's a great blessing. God wants us to be prepared to do good works. Is there a challenge in there as we approach Christmas and the new year? I wonder, is there a challenge perhaps to commit to regularly reading Scripture? Perhaps to using Bible notes, reading notes, or commentaries? Is there in there stuff for families? All Scripture is God-breathed and is there for equipping. Surely perhaps as families, as parents, we should do some of that equipping with our children. But one more warning. We must remember that the goal of Scripture is not to be learnt, but to be lived. God intended his word to be a practical truth, a gift that prepares us to do every good work. Paul wrote this letter to Timothy at a time when he was close to his end. He was going to be executed by Nero. Not that that was a certainty to Paul, but probably an anticipated end. In the warnings and advice that he gives to Paul, we can recognize a man who can look back on a life full of experiences, which he uses in his communications with Timothy. Yet whilst the letter was written so many years ago, it was personal to one young man. But that doesn't mean that only one young man should take out of it for himself. It has a value to us collectively and individually today. Paul warns us how many people will move away from faith to a more self-centered and worldly lifestyle. Paul identifies the threat of some modern thinking to those who are in the church community. He particularly warns of the risk to the most vulnerable people within that community. But he goes on to offer those pieces of advice born of years of ministry. Expect persecution. Hold on to the truths that you accepted right at the start of your faith journey. Read and use Scripture constantly as your instruction manual. Perhaps as we approach the celebration of the birth of Jesus, as we see many people join our church community for the celebration, as we have the chance to show the love of Christ in Reigate and beyond, let's heed the warnings, but take the advice and seize the opportunity. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the testimony of old men of Christ like Paul, for the enthusiasm and witness of young people like Timothy, and for the opportunity that you present us in the challenge of spreading your good news to our world. Amen. Amen.